the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Sometimes I think that the designer of our lectionary must have had a perverse sense of humor. Because if you heard the readings today, we started right with our reading from Jeremiah, the sublime story of the potter and the clay, and the story of God's cooperation with humankind in the building of a life. It's a beautiful story, something to be talked about. And then we had our epistle reading from Philemon, which combines all the humor and the social tension and the passive aggressiveness of the TV series The Office. And it's something a lot of fun to deal with. But then we had our gospel reading, where we heard about Jesus' command that seemed to say we're supposed to hate our brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers. And that's just rude, right? I mean, that's just something we can't let go of. It's something that needs to be addressed. And so that's what we'll talk about today. Now this week, something else rude was happening as Hurricane Dorian flattened the Bahamas and moved toward Florida. As that happened, I'm sure there was one prayer on the lips of every Floridian, and later Georgians and South Carolinians, and that was the prayer to turn. Turn. After watching what had happened in the Bahamas, they were all hoping to be spared that same trauma. Right? This hurricane passed directly over some of the islands of the Bahamas, and it seemed to just stop there. Right? Just squatted and stayed, battering those islands, wreaking havoc and destruction hour after hour, even as it set records for the most violent hurricane ever recorded. It's insane. And so when you see something like that barreling at you, all you can do is pray, turn. As we begin a new academic year together, as the students have moved back into Rowan across the street, as our children are going back to their schools, as Sunday school kicked off again today, and Children's Church is meeting right now, one thing I want to bring into this year's preaching is Bishop Curry's rubric called The Way of Love. Now, The Way of Love is a model for understanding Christian discipleship. It is an outline for those who might want to develop a rule of life. It is a way of understanding what it means to be Christian and an invitation to experience the fullness of what God is offering to us. You can find an illustration for The Way of Life on page 4 in your bulletin. It's my hope that this outline will lend some continuity to our year and provide us with some guidance as we seek to fulfill our purpose as a church, which is to be a school for the soul, a school of discipleship. Church is meant to be a place where we learn how to choose life for ourselves and to encourage one another to follow through on that choice. As we begin today our series on the way of love, you'll notice on that diagram that the first step in the process is the one called turn. Turn. Turning away from certain things and towards others, like a hurricane turning away from Florida. To put it in purely churchy language, we are invited to turn away from sin and towards God. And honestly, we're not just talking about those things that are actually evil in our lives, although there are those things, but Jesus is talking about anything that distracts us. Even the good things. That's why we have that crazy passage in the gospel about hating father and mother and brother and sister. Jesus is using a Hebrew idiom specifying a great preference for one thing over another. And so we are invited to turn to Jesus with a passion and a dedication that makes all our other commitments and affections pale by comparison. What does it mean to choose to prefer Jesus over your father and mother, your sister and your brother, your spouse and your children? In the time when Jesus spoke these words, family was all you had. There was no social security. Your family was your retirement account. Right? Your family was the guarantee that you would get to eat today and maybe even tomorrow as well. Your family was the reason that you were not attacked or abused or enslaved by others. The New Testament talks a lot about caring for orphans and widows because as bad as life can be today for orphans and widows, it was so much worse then. What is it that you depend on in your life? What gives you confidence to face the day? Where does your security come from? Where is your refuge in times of trouble? We still look to our families, but we also look to lots of other things these days too, don't we? When we're looking for security, we look to our houses and to our cars, to our jobs and to our bank accounts. We rely on stocked pantries and food delivery services and supermarkets. We look to our own strength, our own intelligence, our own healthy bodies. We rely on our smartphones to make us feel good, our televisions, our computers with Facebook. We look to status, fashionable clothing, and the esteem of our peers. And hear what Jesus is saying about all these things. Jesus is not saying that they're bad. Jesus is not admonishing us for enjoying these things. But what Jesus is saying is that they all can be, and frequently are, distractions. These are all things that stop us from fully receiving God's kingdom. Right? Because our hands are too full of the treasures we already hold and we can't bear to let them go in order to grasp onto that greater treasure which God is offering to us, that God is holding out. And so as long as we depend on all these other things for our well-being, for our security, for our happiness, then we will be unable to depend completely on God for those things. We are invited to figure out how to open our hands, to release everything extraneous, and to make space for God instead. So here's the point. God fills our lives with good things. God fills our lives overflowing. They brim over the top, and we can't even keep track of them all. And all those good things we enjoy, they are from God. They are God's good gift. They are tokens of God's affection for us. But the tokens aren't the point. The love that motivated those tokens, that's the point. And I'm sure you've noticed in your own life, and in the lives of those around you, that those good things that we enjoy, they go away sometimes. Right? We get sick, or the economy takes a spill, or we lose a job, or who knows what goes on. Right? Even the people that we love the most, they fail us sometimes. That's just how it works. And each failure, each loss, each disappointment, those are just reminders that those tokens that we were enjoying, they were gifts from God, and that God's love continues undisturbed. All those other things are not constant or reliable, but God's love, it's still there. And so the invitation to us, in our disappointment and in our joy, is constantly to turn back toward the love of God. Now, to turn a life in a dramatic way can be pretty amazing. And maybe you've seen that around you. I remember the campus minister at Virginia Tech who inspired me to turn from a career as a computer scientist and to go to seminary instead. College is definitely a dramatic time of turning for many people. And that's why I hear the voice of God calling so clearly to us at St. Thomas to be a presence on the campus of Rowan. And there are many, many other turning points in our lives, aren't there? Often they're big events. right? An event like childbirth, or an event like a death and a loss, an event like marriage, or an event like divorce. All of these events, these are opportunities for us to turn, to make big changes in our lives. They are invitations to cling to God anew. But the good news is that we don't have to wait for something traumatic to happen. Right? Any of us can choose to turn at any time. How do we turn? Well, just like a novice runner doesn't begin by going out and running a marathon, right? Just like a new weightlifter doesn't begin with the 500-pound plates, just like a new driver doesn't learn by starting out fighting rush hour on the Schuylkill Expressway, at least we hope not. So we don't turn to God, first of all, in the big things of our lives, but in the little things. We learn and we practice on the little things. I begin by choosing to turn from my perpetual self-interest in order to spend maybe just a little bit of time focusing outward upon God, upon my neighbor. I begin by choosing to turn from my frantic activity to a consistent practice of worship or prayer or service. I begin by choosing to turn at least once from social media and network news to morning prayer and the lectionary, the daily lectionary. I begin by choosing to turn from a constant need for more to giving thanks and expressing gratitude once in a while. I begin by choosing to turn from valuing people not by what they do for me and how they make me feel, like the rich man who invited dignitaries to his banquet so that he could then be invited back, be seen, but instead choosing to practice seeing the image of God in another and loving them because of that. In every spiritual journey, there is a first step. And that first step is to turn, to begin to reorient ourselves toward God. Turning to Jesus can be scary and challenging, but like the Floridians praying for Hurricane Dorian to turn, so we have God at our sides, whispering encouragement to us to turn, turn, turn back to God. To let go of everything else so that we can firmly and solely grasp onto God. God is a sure place in every storm and a loving embrace at the end of every difficult day. To choose life, to find God, first we turn. Amen.
Amen.